this morning. Appreciate all the good singing. Appreciate the presence of God here today. Mark chapter number 9. And I'm preaching from a text this morning that, I don't know, I've preached from it many times, but a different sermon. You know, that's the good thing about it. If you may say, well, preacher, I got this wrote down where you preached this message. It might be the same text, but it's not the same sermon. Amen. And that's the thing. You cannot exhaust the Word of God. You cannot wear it out. And I tell you, the Lord spoke to my heart late last night about this passage of Scripture, and I pray that God will use it to speak to us and speak through us. Mark chapter number 9, if you'll stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, if you're physically able. If you're not able, that's all right. Look with us in verse number 42. The Bible says, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell and the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off, it is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, where will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." Father, I ask you this morning, if you would, to bless the reading of thy word. I pray if there's anybody here that does not know the Savior, God, that today would be the day of salvation. I ask you, Lord, to bind the devil and anything that would hinder or distract us from hearing the message that you'd have us to hear this morning. Speak to every heart, and may the will of God be done, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on the subject, the doctrine of hell. The doctrine of hell. And I'm not a theologian this morning, nor a Bible scholar. I'm not a Greek or Hebrew scholar this morning. But I do think it's important that we take just a moment, and when we think about the word hell, that we define its meaning throughout the Word of God. The word hell is found 65 times in the Word of God. And one of the times that the Word of God, hell, the word 54 times in the Word of God, but one of the times that the word hell is mentioned in the Old Testament, it has the Hebrew meaning of Sheol. And when you think about the word Sheol, it is found 65 times in the Old Testament. Now 31 times it has to do with the grave. Remember when David said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," he is talking about the grave. And then 31 times it talks about hell itself, that place of punishment. And then 3 times it talks about the pit. And so it is found 65 times, Sheol, in the Old Testament. In the Greek New Testament, we find the word Hades. And we know that Hades is mentioned 10 times in the New Testament. 3 times it is in reference to the grave. But then 7 times it is in reference to a place of punishment and pain. And we know that's what hell is. Hell is a place of punishment, and hell is a place of pain. And then there is the word Tartarus. And the word Tartarus is found in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. And it is in reference to the place in the lower part of hell where those devils and those angels that have fallen, the Bible talks about they've been in prison there in outer darkness under chains unto the judgment of the great day. The Bible talks about in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down into hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And so the word hell here is the word Tartarus. And then there is the Greek word Gehenna. And this word is found 12 times in the New Testament. 11 times is mentioned from the lips of our Savior. And my friend, it is the place for the unsaved. Those that are separated from God. We know that's is what hell is. Gehenna got its name because in the Old Testament,
You remember Ahab, he offered his own children and burnt them and sacrificed them unto the devil god Molech. And he caused the children of Israel to also offer to that idol. And they would go down into to a deep valley there, a very narrow valley just south of Jerusalem. It was called the Valley of Hinnom. It got its name from the owners, the sons of Hinnom. And so Hinnom would be the place that Ahab took the children of Israel down, and they offered that wicked to that idol, that wicked sacrifice. Josiah, we know, rose up sometime after that, and Josiah ended that, thank God, that evil and that wicked practice. But in the days of Christ, Gehenna, or should I say the Valley of Hinnom, was known as a garbage pit. It was a place just south of Jerusalem outside the city where they would take their garbage and they would burn that. It was a place where three valleys would come together. In fact, the Arabs called it the very Valley of Hell. And when you think about that, it was a place of just where trash and where things would be burnt and where things would be dumped. In AD 70, that was the very place where the Romans and the Jews ended their war, and over 600,000 men were destroyed, and Jews, should I say, were killed there in the Valley of Hinnom. You say, Brother Gravely, why did you tell me all of that? Well, it's mentioned 12 times in the New Testament, 11 times by our Savior, and then in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible talks about death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were cast into the lake of fire. It is no accident that the very last time that you see that, it is the very place where God dumps the souls of men that are unsaved, and they are burned there throughout eternity. It is the place where Satan, the false prophet, and the beast will be cast into. And it is the place, my friend, where they will suffer for all eternity. Just like the Valley of Hinnom, just like Gehenna, that place where the garbage and the trash was burnt, those that reject Jesus Christ will spend eternity in the hell of all hells, in the lake of fire. I'm telling you this morning, the doctrine of hell is not some figment of our imagination. It's not some fairy tale. It's not some story hatched out of Hollywood. But hell is a real place, and Jesus warned men about hell, and we have a responsibility as men of God and as Christians to witness to people about the awfulness of hell this morning. When we think about hell this morning, the doctrine of hell, I have to ask myself concerning the purpose of hell. Why is there a hell? Why did God establish such a place as hell? I think there would be several reasons this morning. Number one, I would say that God's justice demands a hell this morning. You see, God cannot look upon sin. God cannot tolerate sin. The Bible says that God is holy. Amen. And my friend, when Satan sinned in eternity in the heavens, God cast him out of heaven, because God cannot live and dwell nor look on sin, for God is holy. Amen. And God created hell for the devil and for his angels. Amen. Hell is a place where God's justice is demanded. You see, God will not let sin go unpunished. God will not let sin go undealt with. God is not going to let sin just run rapid forever. It may roam this earth now, but there's coming a day when God is going to clean this earth, and he's going to cleanse this earth. Every sinner and the very seed of sin itself, Satan, is going to be cast into an eternal place called hell, where the fire of God's judgment burns, and sin will be punished throughout eternity. I'm saying the purpose of hell is that God's justice demands hell this morning. Then I would say God's love demands hell. You say, Brother Gravely, how in the world could God's love demand hell? Because God made man a free moral agent, and God does not force his love. You see, force love upon somebody is not love. That would be known as rape. Isn't that right? But when you think about it, love is when two people come together and they choose to love one another. And God gave man a free will, and every man has a choice to either love God or or to hate God. He has a choice this morning to receive God or to reject God. Amen. I'm saying Abel received the Lord, but Cain rejected God. And God loves men too much to just force his love upon us. He gave us a choice, and man must make the choice this morning either to accept his son and go to heaven or to reject his son, and the only other place to go is to go to hell. I'm saying this morning, God loved you enough, sinner, to give you a choice, knowing that you may not choose him, but knowing that you could choose him this morning. God's love demands a hell this morning. You see, if you don't want to go to heaven, the only other place for you to go is hell. I want to say this morning, human dignity demands a hell. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm saying again, God is not going to force himself on anyone. There are only two kinds of people in this world. There are those people that God will, that they will look at God and say, thy will be done, and they'll be saved. Or there are those people that in the end, God will look at them and say, thy will be done, and he will allow them to die in their sins and go to hell without God. Friend, I'm telling you this morning, human dignity demands that there is a hell. God's sovereignty demands that there is a hell. You see, sin must be defeated and Satan must be punished, and so therefore God created a place. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 for the devil and his angels. Why? Because God intended from the very moment that Satan sinned in heaven that when he cast him out that he would defeat him and that God would punish him for the sin that he had committed, and so he created hell. And therefore, because Adam sinned in the garden, every man has sin running in his veins, and because of that, God is so sovereign. He will rule, he will reign, he will conquer, he will be the victor, he will overcome. And my friend, even though he made a way, God intends to punish every sin and every sinner that is not saved by the grace of God. That's the purpose of hell this morning. And then I think about in the doctrine of hell, the place of hell. Is hell a literal place? Yes, it is. Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse 9 said, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. Isaiah said, hell is beneath us. Amen. I want to say death and hell will deliver up the dead which are in them in Revelation 20. Where are those dead coming from? They're coming out of the heart of the earth according to Revelation 20, because the Bible said the sea gave up the dead. Where's the sea? The sea is on this earth. And death, where's death? The grave is a picture of death, and death is going to deliver up, and hell is going to deliver up. Hell's a place of eternal death. Hell's a place of eternal punishment. Hell is a place where the souls of those that have never been saved go to when they draw their last breath in this life. They step out into eternity, and my friend, they go to the jail of hell. Amen. Talking about the place of hell. In Luke chapter 16, the Bible said the rich man died and he was buried, didn't it? And the very next phrase says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And being in torments, he seeth Abraham afar off, and he saw Lazarus in his bosom. You'll have your senses in hell. The man in hell in Luke chapter 16 that Jesus spoke about, this is not a parable for their names mentioned. There, Lazarus, Father Abraham. There's no names mentioned in parables in the Bible. This was a certain man here. He died without God and he went to hell. You say, why is that rich man's name not mentioned? I'll tell you why. Because if you die without God, you'll lose your identity throughout eternity. You're lost. You're lost forever. You're lost without God, amen. And that man is in hell right now. He is still lifting his eyes up. He had his five senses. He could hear, he could see, he could taste. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He had some form of a body in hell. He said, for I am tormented in this flame. He had his memory. He had all of his senses in hell. I'm talking about the place of hell this morning. It is a real literal place, amen. The Bible does not teach soul sleep, because the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed a man once to die, And after this, after death, the judgment. You listen to me this morning? I'm talking about the judgment. Hell, the doctrine of hell. I'm saying this morning that there is the place of hell. There is the population of hell. Who's going to be in hell? According to the Bible, Satan will be there. The Antichrist will be there. The false prophet will be there. Revelation 20 and verse 10 said, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You say, Brother Gravely, that's the lake of fire. It is. But death and hell's already been cast into it. I'm telling you, all the lake of fire is, it's the hell of all hells. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, Satan will be there. The false prophet will be there. The Antichrist will be there. Judas Iscariot will be in hell. All of the unsaved will be in hell. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars will all be in hell. Revelation 21 and verse 8 said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You said, preacher, all unsaved people will be there. They will. Revelation 20 and verse 15 says, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. If you're not saved and you die without God, you will go to hell. Jesus told Nicodemus, a very religious man, you must be born again. You must be saved. Now, you can go to 20 churches this morning that'll pat you on the head, take your money and tell you you're a good person. But I'd rather see you this morning, if you're not saved, get under old time conviction. I want sinners to feel welcomed, but I never want them to feel comfortable when they come to God's house. Because if you're lost this morning, you need to be saved. When I think about the pain in hell, talking about the doctrine of hell, it's a place of unquenchable fire. Jesus said it three times in our text this morning. It's a place where the fire is not quenched. He said it's a place where the worm dieth not. Hell is a place of multiple torments. As in Luke 16, he said, for I am tormented in this flame. It is a place of separation from God, from family, and from friends. He said to Lazarus in Luke 16, or to Father Abraham, he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That was his first request, was for water. His second request was for a witness. He said, I have five brethren. He said, send Lazarus that he may testify unto them. I have five brethren, lest they come unto this place of torment. Amen. Here's a man in hell that's separated from God. He is separated from his family. He is separated from his friends. Oh, you listen to me, sinner. If you don't get saved, if you die without God and go to hell, you'll be separated from your family and all of your friends. Remember me and my wife knocked on a man's door years ago. Had an old Roadrunner car that I liked. I invited that man to church. And I'd see the man in town several times with that old car. Always liked it. He always seemed like a nice man, and he was a nice man until I asked him if he was saved. I seen his bottom lip go to quivering. I'm talking about an older man, well up into his probably mid-80s. And he looked at me. His chin began to quiver. He said, let me tell you something right now. I'm just about 18, 19 years old. He said, my boys are all in hell. He said, and when I die, he said, I'm going to hell to be with my boys. I said, sir, you may die without God. And I said it very respectfully. You may die without God and you may go to the same hell that your sons have went to. I don't know anything about his sons. I said, but you'll never see them because hell's a place of outer darkness. The Bible said where there's weeping and there's wailing and there's gnashing of teeth. There's no reunions in hell. There's no family get-togethers in hell. I'm saying if you die without God, it's as black as 1,000 midnights. You'll never be able to see your hand in front of your face. You'll die, my friend, and spend eternity in hell without God. There's no reunions in hell. And this morning, it is a place of thirst. The rich man said, cool my tongue. It's a place of memory and remorse. As Abraham said to that rich man, he said, son, remember. You'll remember in hell. You'll remember every invitation you was ever given. You'll remember every tract that was ever handed to you. You'll remember every time somebody walked by and witnessed to you and tried to tell you about Jesus. You'll remember every time the Holy Ghost passed by your pew and wooed your heart. You'll remember every time, listen, you'll remember every time you sat under a sermon and you got up and went out because you couldn't take the preaching on hell. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that does that. I know there's people that have to go to the restroom, and I want to tell you something. Isn't it amazing when you go to preaching on hell, how everybody gets an overactive bladder all of a sudden, amen, and they got to get out? I'm going to tell you what the problem is. They can't handle it, amen. They know deep down in their heart of hearts that they're going to hell in a handbasket and they need to be saved. I'm here to tell you this morning, I want to preach to you, sinner, as if it's the last sermon I'm ever going to preach, and it's the last sermon you're ever going to hear. I'm telling you, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun, and you better get in while you can, amen. Say, Brother Gravely, you mad? No, I'm under a tremendous burden this morning. I want to see people get saved. And just because you doubt don't mean you're lost. You got that, don't you? But I'm telling you this morning, when you hear preaching on hell, if you got doubts, it'll shake you. But I'll tell you how you know when it's the Holy Ghost talking to you. He'll come right to you and tell you you're lost and you're not saved and you need to get saved. He will not just come and put a bunch of doubts in your mind. You say, why'd you point and tell him that? Because I know his struggle and I'm praying for him, and we've been working, haven't we? And I don't want the devil working on him while I'm preaching this morning. But I'm telling you, if you're lost, the Spirit of God will tell you right now, that preacher's preaching to you and you need to get saved this morning. And I think there's church members that need to be saved. I think there's visitors that need to be saved. You say, Brother Gravity, you're their judge. No, I'm no man's judge, but I tell you, I pray. And and I'm not bragging. I don't pray enough. I'm not trying to say I don't want to come across the wrong way, but I'm just telling you, I believe the Holy Ghost will put people on your heart to pray for, is what I'm trying to say. I don't mean like I pray enough, amen. But I'm just telling you, I know this morning that there's people that hides behind the mask and the cloak of religion. They're empty on the inside and they don't have what it takes, amen. You take the social thing out of this, they ain't got there. They're as far out of touch with anything spiritual. I'm telling you, they're on the outside looking in all the time. They can't connect with the preaching. They can't connect with the singing. Amen. They don't know God this morning. I'm telling you, I don't want to pillow my head at night and not know where I'm going in eternity. And you can know this morning if you want to be saved. Amen. It's a place of thirst. It's a place of frustration and anger. It's a place of undiluted wrath. I'm talking about the wrath of man and the wrath of God meets in hell, and God's wrath and the wrath of Satan and the wrath of all men. I'm talking about the pain that's in hell this morning. What about the pathway of hell? The pathway to hell this morning, let me tell you what it is. It's a pathway of rebellion. For those, you know what's amazing about the rich man in Luke 16? He asked for water, he asked for a witness for his brethren, but he never repented over his sins. And Brother Laddie, I honestly think that he still saw Lazarus as a servant and as a beggar, because he said, go send Lazarus. I don't think he saw Lazarus as anything more in the next life as he saw him in this life. And Abraham corrected him and said, I'm sorry, Lazarus is comforted, but you're tormented. And he said, he received you received the good things in your lifetime, and he received the evil thing. He's not your servant. And I'm telling you, people, it's amazing. They're unrepentant. If you don't repent in this life, you'll not repent in the next life. You'll bow your head and bend your knee at the great white throne judgment. But sinners that don't repent here will never repent. And that's the thing I've noticed about people. You can witness to people many times, but it's hard to get people sometimes to just be honest and come clean and say, I'm lost. If you ever come clean and say, you know what, I'm lost, I'm guilty, I'm lost, and I know I need to be saved, you can get some help, amen? I'm telling you, when you know you're guilty and you come to God, you'll get mercy. But as long as you stand there and justify and start to say, well, I'm not that bad, and he's not talking to me, and I'm okay, you're not going to get any help, amen? And I'll tell you, when you wave the old white flag and say, you know what, I'm as guilty as charged, I deserve to go to hell, but God, would you save my soul? I'll tell you, God will show you mercy, but you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to come and say, God, save me, amen. I have seen this more times in an altar call, and it's amazing, but it's sad. I've seen people come down to the altar
under conviction. I never tell them what they need. I always ask them, why did you come? And that's a pivotal point for that person. And I've seen them hesitate. Well, I just come to pray. What'd you come to pray about? There's a hesitation there. I just come to pray. I'm okay. I'm okay, preacher. I've had them look at me and say, I'm saved. I didn't say he's lost. You don't have to convince me of anything this morning. But I've seen people come down the altar. I say, why'd you come? Oh, I'm going to hell. I'm going straight to hell. I know I'm not saved. I need to get saved right now. Well, you're on the right path. Amen. But I'm telling you, listen, if you're a rebel this morning and you stiffen your neck and harden your heart, God is a perfect gentleman. He will not force you to be saved. He'll let you walk out them doors into that parking lot and get in your car and drive straight to hell if you want to. But God is not going to force you. He gave his son. He's already made the ultimate sacrifice. You must choose him this morning if you want to be saved. He already chose you, thank God, before the foundations of this world when his son was slain at Calvary. And you can be saved if you want to be saved, but you must come to God. You must come to Christ. You must come if you want to be saved. I cannot emphasize it enough. If you want to miss hell, you must come to Calvary. You must come to Jesus. You say, Lord, I want to be saved. Then come, and you can be saved this morning. It's just that easy. All you got to do is come. The pathway to hell is a pathway of rebellion. It's a pathway of ruin, like in Judas's life. 30 pieces of silver sent him to hell. It's a pathway of destruction, perversion. It's a pathway of sinfulness. Don't trade the sinful pleasures of this world for eternity. I like that old song, I wouldn't trade heaven for the world. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, the world can have their pleasures. They can have their sin. It's going to be over with in a season. Now I'm telling you, if I never wake up another day this side of eternity, if I never see another sunrise down here, and thank God I've got the blessed assurance I'll be on, thank God, the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. If you never see me again in this walk of life, I'll meet you in the rapture. I'll see you on the other side. Thank God we got something to look forward to. I'm not much, but hallelujah, I know I'm saved, and it's good to be saved this morning. Amen. And the best thing that I know about hell this morning is that I know I'm not going there. What about you this morning? The pathway to hell. Jesus said in Matthew 23, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? You know, the Lord was talking to religious people. And then there's the pardon from hell. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Do you believe you're a sinner this morning? Do you believe that if you do not get saved today, then you will go to hell? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that he wants to save you? Do you believe that he will save you if you'll ask him? If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I believe I'm a sinner, and I believe if I don't get saved today, I'll go to hell. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that if I ask him, he'll save me. Then I got some good news for you this morning. All you have to do is come. And if you'll ask the Lord, he will save you. If you understand, I'm telling you, young people, I don't know any of y'all's hearts, and I don't like to I don't want to cast any doubt. Church members, visitors, do inventory this morning. If you're not saved, when are you going to get saved? If not now, when? I would say if not now, never. If God can't wake you up this morning, then there's a high possibility he may never get your attention. But I'll tell you, if you're here this morning, and you say, I'm lost, and I understand what it means to be saved, and I need to be saved. If you'll come and ask Jesus to save you, he'll save you. It's not complicated. I could preach a whole, I haven't even got to the text this morning. But the pardon from hell is why did Jesus go to Calvary? Why did he die on the cross? The answer is simple. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, sinner, God loved you enough that He gave His only begotten Son. The only Son God had was Jesus. And God knew that if somebody didn't die in your place, then you and I would go to hell. And God loves you enough. Now I want to tell you something. If God loves you enough to give His Son, then you can rest assured He loves you enough to save you. Is that right? I've had people say, well, I don't know if God would save me. Prove to me why He wouldn't. I can prove to you why He would. Because He gave His Son. Do you think God would give Jesus to die for any soul and then not save that soul if that soul wanted to be saved? I'm going to tell you something. I got Bible on that this morning. He said, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise. That means in plain old Georgia language, there is no way, Jose, that I will cast him out. You say, Brother Grath, if I got out of my seat and came down that aisle, junked my pride, junked my religion, and said, I need to be saved, oh, God will meet you right down here and save you. But you'll have to come. You can't get saved when on your terms. You'll have to get saved when the Holy Spirit deals with your heart this morning. I want them to come and get us a song ready. I'm going to tell you, this last night I was just praying about the service. And I want to say it again. I believe the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said 10 people could get saved tomorrow if they'd just come. I'm not telling you 10 people's going to get saved, but I tell you, I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I guarantee you these 10 people sitting in this building this morning, you need to be saved. From the youngest to the eldest this morning, God wants to save every person that's here that's lost. Do you know you're lost this morning? If you know you're lost, you ought to take somebody by the hand and say, will you go to the altar with me? Will you go down there to the altar with me? And why don't you come this morning? The Lord will save you, but you got to come. Let's stand this morning.